Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Let's open to Luke chapter 19 in your copy of the scriptures and take a look at this passage this morning, Luke chapter 19. And we'll be looking at a section from verses 11 through 27 this morning. So go ahead and turn to that passage. Shortly after the birth of Jesus Christ, the wicked King Herod that wanted to slaughter Christ and did slaughter so many babies died. In his place, his son Herod Archelaus was appointed to follow and evidently had some palace or royal area near the town of Jericho. Because that area and a kingdom and whatnot was under the rule of the Roman Empire, for Herod Archelaus to become the next king, he had to go to Rome to be crowned by the emperor king of that area. He was somewhat, you might say, a puppet king. He only had power because Augustus would make him king underneath of Augustus' reign. And so Herod Archelaus had to make this trip to Rome, and in his presence, riots broke out in Israel. Riots broke out and people were rejecting the rule of Herod Archelaus. He received from Rome the opportunity of being king and came back. And the riots and rebellion were so great that it took some 3 or 4 legions from nearby Syria, the army to come in to put down those riots. And historians tell us that 2,000 people were crucified for taking part in those riots. That was a true story, something that really did happen somewhere around the time of the birth of Christ. In the days of Jesus Christ walking upon earth, events similar to that happened quite frequently because empires ruled the world and they ruled over many different kings. And so emperors were kings of kings. They were lords of lords. And so for these people to rule under them, they had to go to a far country, receive their kingdom, and come back and rule over their kingdom. It was always a great danger while they were gone that someone would try to usurp the throne. Someone else would try to take over in their absence. And so this was a common occurrence. It was something that was familiar to people in that day and time. They understood this. And here at the point in time where Jesus Christ is in Luke chapter 19, he has just come through Jericho and the familiar story of Zacchaeus in the beginning of chapter number 19. And so here were these people who maybe were children, some of them at the time that all of this happened in their home area of Israel and specifically near Jericho. They would have been familiar with that particular story. They would have known that from the history books. They would have understood some of these things. And as Jesus comes through, he's on his way to Jerusalem. And the people have a great struggle. The Jewish people, if you've read the Gospels and studied them, you understand that the Jewish people, had a great struggle with this idea that they wanted Jesus to be their king right now. Some of them had that concept that they expected the kingdom to come right away. Let's look at verse number 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Some of them were rejecting Jesus Christ. Others of them wanted him to be made king right now and throw off the yoke of the Romans. They thought it was going to happen right now. But Jesus understood that, yes, the day is coming, praise the Lord, in which he is going to rule and reign bodily, physically, from Jerusalem and over all of the world. And we look forward to that day. But Jesus Christ knew that that day was a ways off. And before that day could come, a different day had to come. And that day was in Jerusalem when he would die on the cross. And he knew that he was headed to die on the cross and that they were thinking that the kingdom should be something that should happen right away. And so he wants to teach these Jewish people, he wants to teach these Jewish disciples, these people that have this kingdom mentality, what they're supposed to be doing while they're waiting for the kingdom to appear. How are they supposed to act? What are they supposed to be busy about? What is supposed to keep them focused during this time while they're waiting for the kingdom? And today I would say to you and me that we have the same exact challenge for us. Because we wait for the kingdom. We wait for that time when Jesus Christ will return and we're raptured and then He comes and He sets up His kingdom and rules and reigns. But what are you and I supposed to be doing with the life that God has given to us while we wait? This month is our stewardship month, and we're emphasizing the truth of being good stewards with our lives. It comes back to our core value that we believe in a cause that costs something. If you're going to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, it will cost you something to serve God. And one of the things it will cost you is your own life. And so our theme this month is being a good steward of the life that God has given to us. And here Jesus Christ comes with a word for His disciples saying, yes, the kingdom is coming. It's going to be a while. You're going to have to wait for it. And here's what you're going to have to do while you wait. And the truth that He brings out to His disciples is this. What God requires of us is one simple word. Faithfulness. If you're going to be a good steward of the life that God has given to you, you must be faithful. That is the truth that He's bringing out in this passage. The title of the message this morning is Faithfulness is Fabulous. Several years ago, I was studying for some work in the Old Testament, and I was looking at those twin books of Jonah and Nahum. Jonah and Nahum both deal with one city, an ancient city by the name of Nineveh. And Nineveh was an incredible city, and as I was studying it and researching it a little bit, one of the Bible students said this, the wealth of Nineveh was fabulous. Now we use that word fabulous maybe a lot. We use it more frequently, and so maybe we don't always understand it. And so when he said that, and I was studying it and understanding that they were the center of the world for a period of time, Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire, and so they would conquer peoples and kingdoms and bring their wealth to their capital city here. When he said the wealth of Nineveh was fabulous, I looked up the word fabulous. What does the word fabulous actually mean? It means this, nearly unbelievable, almost impossible to believe. He was saying that Nineveh had so plundered and looted the world and brought their wealth to Nineveh that the wealth that they had in that capital city was just, it would stagger the mind. It was nearly unbelievable. And what I want you to see today is a very simple truth, that faithfulness is fabulous. When you look at how awesome faithfulness is, it would just nearly seem unbelievable how God has put faithfulness together for us. And so today I want you to be challenged from this passage. The same way Jesus Christ challenged His listeners 2,000 years ago, that you and I, while we wait for the kingdom, ought to be faithful. Are you faithful? Are you faithful with the life that God has given to you? Because faithfulness is fabulous. The Spirit of God, I come before you this morning and want to ask that you would work in hearts and lives. This is your word. Quite literally, this is your message that you spoke. And so, Lord, I am claiming that your word would be powerful and it would do the work in hearts and lives that you desire for it to do. And Lord, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to see four truths about faithfulness from this passage here. And the first truth that we come to, as Jesus describes it, is faithfulness uses a little. Faithfulness uses a little. Verse number 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. What is this idea of 10 pounds? He's going to go get his kingdom as was common in those days, and he lines up 10 of his servants, and he gets out 10 pounds. It was a unit of money, currency. It was a mina. That was what it was often called in those days. And he gives 1 pound, 1 mina, to each one of these servants. They get one. Not a whole bunch, they get one. Because faithfulness uses a little. Now, how much was the pound? Those historians who've looked this up say that a pound was the equivalent of 100 days' wages. 100 days' wages. 100 drachmas. They would often work for a day and they would get a drachma or a penny for working that day. A little different value than our penny, but that's how it often worked. 100 days wages for a servant. I don't know what you would think for what you want to use for point of reference today, but if you want to use $100,000 as a figure of an annual wage, well, 3 months wages would be about $25,000. But if you say, you know, this is a servant and they probably didn't make a six-figure income, maybe they made, we'll say, I don't know, what do you want to pick out? We want to say that they made $30,000. I don't know, you can pick your number. You can do your own math this afternoon and pick the numbers you want to, all right? But if you say that they made $30,000 in a year, then this 3 months worth of wages would have been about $7,500 if I did my math right. You know, $7,500, that's what he gave them. It's not a lot of money. I mean, if you had $7,500 and wanted to give it to me, I would take it. You know, it'd be great to have it. But in another sense, look at what he wants him to do at the end of verse number 13. Occupy till I come. The word occupy means go do business with it. Put it to use. Similar word is used at the end of verse 15 to gain by trading. Put it to business. Go out and trade with it. $7,500. Go start a business. Go use this as your investment capital. Go out there and do something with it. $7,500. It's a nice amount of money, but in another sense, compared to what a nobleman had, it's not very much. In fact, notice verse number 17. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little. Compared to all of the wealth that the nobleman had, what he gave to these servants, 1 pound apiece, was a very little. Faithfulness uses a little. I want you to think about that with your life. Because sometimes when it comes to our Christian lives and what we have, we are bothered by the little that we seem to have. We just have this task for God and it's just a little task. It's an insignificant task. Nobody even knows the task that we're involved in. Nobody even knows what we're doing. God, is it really that important? Does it matter that I'm faithful with it? Does it matter that I even do this thing? It just seems so little. You know, it's just my one voice singing. It's just my one time of special music. It's just that I just sweep off the sidewalks or I just take out trash. I just make the coffee. I just help with a children's church class here and there. I just do this or that. And sometimes I'm not belittling any of those things. What I'm actually saying is sometimes we may, whatever our job may be, we start to feel like, God, this is just a little thing. This isn't fireworks. This isn't big. This isn't spectacular here, God. I want something big and important where everybody would recognize me and everybody would see me here. You may have a task helping in the nursery. You may have a task of working in the kitchen for the different meals that we have here. You may look at your church attendance and say, my church attendance, so it's not really that big of a deal here. The growth of my children, we may not make that as important as it should be. Hey, listening to one sermon isn't that great of a thing. Obedience to parents. Hard work in college. Hard work at our job here. Sometimes we look at the different things that we have and we say, those are just little things. They don't really matter. And the passage starts off with giving 10 servants a bunch of little things. Because faithfulness uses a little. Don't you look at your life and say, hey, this is just a little thing. It doesn't really matter. No, faithfulness starts with the little things. He that is faithful in that which is little will be faithful also in much. And sometimes we're even bothered by those things. We're bothered at times where we can't do any other things like that. Maybe sometimes as our years progress or as our health gets to a certain place, we can't participate, we can't be involved, we can't give, we can't work, we can't labor as we used to be able to do. Maybe we're younger. And as a kid, we can look at older people and we can say, hey, they're all involved and they're serving God and they're doing big things. But I'm a kid. I'm a teenager. I'm a young person. What I have just doesn't seem to be that important. That much of a big task, something like that. And you look down on your things and you say, it's not really that big of a deal that I'm involved. It's not really that big of a deal that I come. It's not really that big of a deal that I participate in those things. And God says, no, faithfulness uses a little. Have you ever considered a semi-truck? You go past them on the interstate, and here they are pulling, what is it, 80,000 pounds going down the interstate at 65, 70 miles an hour here. And you have that entire load. You have a semi-tractor on the front, and he's pulling that trailer with that massive load down the road. Do you know what connects that semi-tractor to that load? A pin between the two of them. It's not even that big, is it? It's a pretty small pin, this size maybe. Tiny. Tiny little pin pulls all of that. Because little things matter. Little things matter. In the winter, does it matter when someone shovels the walk? It's a little thing, but it makes a big, huge difference. Little things. Somebody can go into a restaurant. They can go into a business, can't they? One little thing can go wrong and they will say, I'll never be back to this place again. One little thing. Because little things are a big deal. Maybe you've heard the children's program, Adventures in Odyssey. Adventures in Odyssey has in it something they call the Imagination Station. You go into the Imagination Station and it gives you the ability to travel through time and to travel and to experience different things that you're imagining, and the story comes to life. And so one day here's an individual that puts into the Imagination Station something to the effect of they want to see important tasks for God. They want to go through and explore those throughout history. And they get in the Imagination Station, type it in, and away they go off to see all these important tasks. And they get to the first one. And it was just some little thing that somebody did that made a big difference. And they go to the second one, and it was just some little thing that they did, and it made a difference. And they go to the next one, and it was just some little thing that they did, and it made a huge difference. Because faithfulness uses a little. Consider the widow's mite in Scripture. Consider that little servant girl who came to Naaman and told him about a place where he could be healed from his leprosy if he would turn to the God of the Scriptures here and go seek the prophet of God. She was a young servant girl. All she did was make a few statements here and how it changed his life. Think of an insignificant farmer by the name of Gideon. Think of a Joshua who was a servant to Moses, and of Elisha who was a servant to Elijah. Because as we sang this morning, little is much when God is in it. And if you're going to understand faithfulness, you've got to understand that your little matters. Your little life, your little attendance, your little time, your little involvement. Because faithfulness uses a little. Let's go back to our text here, and we're going to see a second point here. So he's given them these pounds. He tells them, occupy till I come, verse 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Let's go down to verse 18. And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. Second truth that I want you to see from these verses is that faithfulness varies a lot. Faithfulness varies a lot. All 10 of these servants were all given the same amount, 1 pound, $7,500 in our illustration. They were all given the same amount. They were all given just this 1 pound. And here the first guy comes in and he says, your $7,500 produced 10 times that amount, $75,000. Second servant comes in and he says, your pound gained 5 pounds, or about $37,500. That's what it would gain here. But notice what the Lord said of both of them. Verse number 17. And he said unto him, this is the first guy, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little. Notice what he says to the second servant, verse 19. And he said likewise to him. Now, wouldn't it be interesting to be in that courtroom that day when the king is sitting on his throne? All the 10 servants parade in before the king. We only hear the conversation of the first three. The first guy comes in and, Lord, your 1 pound made 10 pounds. If I were sitting out there and were observing all of these things, I would think, wow, tenfold increase. That's awesome. And you hear the master say, good job, you're a faithful servant. I would think, well, obviously he was. Good job. And he goes on down the row. Second guy comes in and he says, your pound gave 5 pounds. And I'd be thinking, well, that's not bad, but you know, he's not as good as the other guy. You know, I mean, he's half as good as the other guy. And then when the master says likewise to number 5, that he says to number 10, I'd be a little surprised. You mean the master was just as happy with five pound guy as with 10 pound guy? The master was just excited about both of them? That would get my attention a little bit, and it ought to get our attention because, number one, faithfulness uses a little, but number two, it varies a lot. Because, see, both of these guys were faithful with what they had. The outcomes varied, but both of them were faithful, and that is the key. You see, I'm not required to live up to what Pastor Fuller could do. And I'm not going to answer for Mr. Veth or for Andrea. And I'm not going to answer for how if I've evangelized as many souls as D.L. Moody. And I'm not going to answer for if I can sing as well as Karen or play the piano as well as my wife here. I'm not going to answer for whether or not I can teach math as well as Dakota. I'm not required to answer for them. I'm not required to be like them. God wants me to be faithful with who I am and with God, with what God has given to me here. God's standard for every Christian is not, now, before you die, you must win 73 people to Christ, disciple 73 people, teach Sunday school for 25 years, give $100,000 in attendance, attend 10,000 church services, make 775 phone calls, etc., 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 as if there is this number that every single person is required to do. That's not the standard. The standard is faithfulness. And what is faithfulness and how that is going to play out in your life is going to play out differently in my life. If the standard were just simply a number, then some of us would have it really hard to live up to the numbers of other people. And some of us would have it really, really easy to get those numbers. That wouldn't be a consistent standard. But the consistent standard is this. It's a standard of faithfulness. Brothers and sisters don't have to live up to each other. They have to be faithful to what God wants them to do. Kids don't have to live up to their parents. They have to be faithful to what God wants them to do with their lives here. And that's an exciting thing. It's a freeing thing because faithfulness varies a lot. 10-pound guy, he's faithful. 5-pound guy, he's faithful. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I am required to be faithful with what God has given to me. I have 5 children. They're all our children. And they're all different. Titus has always been very independent. Silas has always been very loving and warm towards things. Amos has always been very passionate about things. Lois is tough. And Moses is my neat and hardworking one. Not excluding each other from those different things. They all have some of those similar things, but they're all different. And Amos doesn't answer for Silas. And Silas doesn't answer for Moses. And you know exactly what I mean. Because faithfulness varies a lot. But faithfulness is what our God requires of us. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 1, Paul said this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Deacons, wives are supposed to be faithful. 1 Timothy 3:11, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Pastors' kids are supposed to be faithful. Titus 1:6. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children. Revelation 2 and verse number 10 says, be faithful unto death. Revelation 17 and verse number 14, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. We are supposed to be faithful. Faithfulness uses a little. You may not have much or think that you have much, but you need to be faithful with that. Number two, faithfulness varies a lot. Number three, faithfulness pleases the Lord. We look at this and we find it here in verse number 17. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant. The word well isn't referring to a water well there. The word well is referring to what is good. It's literally the word from which we, when we have a funeral, have eulogy. It's the you part. A eulogy is a good word that you say about someone when they pass away. Here, Jesus Christ, in a sense, gives the you of the eulogy. He gives something good. He says, this is good. Do you remember when Jesus Christ created the world? When God created the world, and he would create something, and he would look at it, and he would say that he saw that it was good. And as the master and the Lord of these servants, he looks at them and he says, they're good. They've done well. They're good servants. Can you imagine what it is going to be like if you're faithful for God to look at your life and God to look at you and say, good. They did well. I looked at my creation and I saw that it was good. And I look at their life and how they've been faithful with the little that I've given to them. And I see that they have done well with it. That the God of the universe could smile at my life. That he could be satisfied. That he could be pleased with how I live my life. I'm not talking about earning my way to heaven. You can't do that at all. I'm talking about how I live my Christian life. That I would please God with my life. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm not even pleased with how I live my life half the time, you know? I'm not even satisfied with the level of where I'm at and what I'm accomplishing it. So to think about the time coming in which the God of the universe would look at my life and say, well done, that he's pleased with my life. And what is it that pleases him? He tells us in that verse 17, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful. Faithfulness pleases the Lord. Listen, if you're going to be pleasing to the Lord, if someday when you stand, like all of us will, and give an account of our lives, you're going to give an account of every little thing that God has given to you with your life. What have you done with your talents? What have you done with your money? What have you done with your Sundays? What have you done with your spare time? What have you done with these different things? And God is going to look at that, and if we've been faithful, then God is going to be pleased. We haven't talked about that third servant. Let's look at verse number 20. It says, and another. By the way, that word another refers to another of a different kind. Another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. The word napkin, we Americans often think of a, you know, something you're going to use in a few minutes to eat your lunch with. The word napkin, as you study it out, was literally this, a sweat cloth. It was used when you worked hard and you were sweating to wipe your brow. That's what it was used for. And the implication was what? This guy didn't need one. This guy didn't need a sweat cloth because he was lazy, because he didn't work. He never broke a sweat. He never got out and served his master. He never got out there and did anything that was of any hard work. And so he could take his napkin, he could take his handkerchief, and he could wrap up the $7,500 in it and go bury it somewhere because the man was lazy and he never did anything to work. And why not? Verse 21, for I feared thee because thou art an austere man. You take up what you don't lay down and you reap what you don't sow, is what he says. I was afraid of you. Because I have this impression of the master, of the king, of God, as God being a God who reaps what he doesn't even sow here. And I was afraid of it. You know what I find to be an interesting thing? The master never refutes that statement. He never says, you had the wrong opinion of me. But notice what he says, verse 22, and he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man. You knew that. Now listen, I'm not telling you today that God is a harsh, ugly, demanding God. I'm not telling you that at all. What I am saying is this, that he is a God who has expectations. that he is a God who expects to reap some things that he himself necessarily didn't do every little bit. That's why he gave you the pounds. So that you would have the responsibility and you would go out there and you would make some money with those pounds here. He says, you knew that's what I expected. You knew what I was like. Why didn't you at least take my money, go over and deposit it in the bank, and at least I would get some tiny little amount of interest out of my money? You wouldn't have had to do any work. You could have deposited it in the bank, but at least I would have got something out of it here, and you didn't even do that, you wicked servant. He was lazy. He wouldn't work. He was unfaithful with the pound that God had given to him. He wouldn't put it to use. And what the thing really points out is this, that our God is going to expect you and I to be faithful. He is an austere God and he is going to expect his servants to do something with the pounds that he has given to us. He is going to expect that you're going to do something with the money that he has given to you. He is going to expect that you are going to do something with the time and the life and the years and the hours that he has given to you. He has developed you with talents and with abilities for his honor and for his glory, and he is going to expect you to do something for his honor and glory for him. And you're someday going to stand before the King of Kings and answer for whether or not you've been a faithful steward with what God has given to you. And if you have chosen not to labor, if you have chosen that you don't need the sweat cloth, you have chosen instead to bury your pound, to bury your resources, to bury your time, to do other things with it, you will give an account to your God for it. But those that are faithful please the Lord. It is something that pleases Him. It is something that is a great blessing to him. For Paul to say at the end of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul is saying, I've been faithful all the way to the end to do what God wanted me to do. I have finished my course. When I was a boy, there were a couple times that my dad took me to cut some firewood for a man from his work. One of the men in their work had had an accident. He became a quadriplegic. And as a result, he needed some help having firewood for the winter. And so a couple times, the men from his work would get together, go out in the woods, cut some wood, and haul it up to his place so that he would have some wood to heat his home. And so a couple times, I went with my dad along on that journey. You know what? My dad, when I was, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, never handed me the chainsaw. I didn't get to do that. I didn't run the log splitter. I wasn't strong enough to haul some big log up through the woods there. But I remember that these men would cut this wood and they would bring it up there to these pickup trucks, and a lot of them had the toppers on the back of them. And here were these grown men and they were trying to fill their whole pickup bed full of this wood that they'd cut for this gentleman. And for a grown man to get in the topper there and to stack firewood all the way up in the nose of that thing would have been a lot more work. But for a little kid, it wasn't a work at all because I was short. And I could get up there and they would throw the wood down on the tailgate and I had a ball just going up there and stacking it in the front of it. It was something that I could do. And to this day, I remember the men that would come up and be like, oh, this is so nice. We don't have to crawl up in there. You're doing such a good job. That's great. What a blessing it is. And you know what? That was just like gas in my tank. It was a great encouragement because these men were pleased with the tiny little job that I was doing to help them. I couldn't cut the trees down. I didn't have enough strength to drag logs. But I could pick up one piece of wood and throw it up in the front and stack it nice. And it mattered to me that I was pleasing to them. And it ought to matter to us that we are pleasing to the Lord. It ought to matter to us that we say, God, I can't run the chainsaw and I can't do all these things, but I can pick up a piece of wood and I can come up here and stack it here. And God says, good job. It pleases me that you are using your little. Faithfulness uses a little. Faithfulness varies a lot. Faithfulness pleases the Lord. And we come to our last truth that we have to see. Faithfulness gets a reward. Faithfulness gets a reward. Verse number 17. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. What an interesting thing this must have been. Again, we imagine ourselves, don't we, in the throne room? The king is sitting up there on his throne and he calls his 10 servants and they begin to line up there and to parade before him. And the first one comes in and he says, I've gained 10 pounds. And the master says, good job, faithful servant. I imagine in my mind that he pauses for just a moment. He calls for a scribe. Come here, scribe. scribe comes tootling in there with his little scroll and his quill pen there, and he has another document under his arm, and he pulls out this map and holds it up there, and the king goes over there and he begins to kind of look at the map, and let's see. Coon Rapids, write these down. Coon Rapids and Blaine and let's do Andover and Anoka and Ramsey, and let's go do Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center, Maple Grove, Osseo, and Otsego. Let's do that. He lists out these 10. He turns around and he looks at the servant and he says, these 10 cities, you're in charge of them. Wouldn't that be an interesting thing? Wouldn't that be just a little bit of a mind-boggling thing? The next guy comes up and he tells him 5 pounds and he says, good job, servant. Scribe, come here. Let me see that map again. Pulls it out. He starts looking over here and he says, South St. Paul and Oakdale and Hudson and White Bear Lake, and we'll give him St. Paul too. Write those 5 down. Give him those. You're sitting there and you're watching as he says, now you're going to be in charge of those 5 cities. I say, 5 cities? This guy with the 5 pounds, he only made $38,000 for the master. $38,000, you couldn't even buy a house in those cities for that much money, let alone being in charge of those cities. This guy's in charge of the apartments. This guy's in charge of the armies. He's in charge of the government. He's in charge of the families. He's in charge of all the laws. He's in charge of everything that goes on in 5 cities because he was faithful with $7,500. With 1 little pound, he got that. This guy over here, $75,000. He gave that to the king. $75,000, that's nothing. Hey, I'll give you $1 million if I can be in charge of 10 cities. There'd be people all over the U.S. lined up if you told them they could be mayor for $1 million. They'd pay all sorts of money for that. They probably do that. But this guy got it for $75,000 worth of faithfulness. 10 cities. And I fully believe it to be absolutely true because the scripture says, if you suffer with him, you'll reign with him. And friend, listen, you don't want to be faithful in this life. You don't want to be consistent and diligent with what God has. You don't want to be involved. You don't want to serve God with your life. Someday you're going to stand before the King of the universe as he's handing out responsibilities for his 1,000-year rule and reign as he rules the entire globe. And you won't be handed anything. There's all sorts of responsibilities that he has, all sorts of people that he needs to be mayors and governors and presidents and rulers and all these things. And I don't begin to know how it all works, but somehow here and in other passages, it tells us that if we suffer with him, we'll reign, we'll rule and reign with Christ. He gives out these 10 cities, and I look and I say, faithfulness really is fabulous. Just for being faithful with a little. And it varies a lot because this guy was 5 had 5 and this guy has 10, but they're both faithful and they both get incredible rewards. And God would reward in that way. That is fabulous. And what would it be like for the dignitaries and the people sitting there in the audience to sit there and watch all of that? And friend, whether you're a child or a teenager or a single person, or a couple, or a parent, or a widow, or a widower, or any other combination, every one of you today can get a reward. And everyone that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit eternal life. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Because faithfulness really is fabulous. It's unbelievable. Faithfulness just uses a little. It varies a lot. It pleases the Lord. And it gets a reward. And so listen, today I wonder if you've been slipping in your faithfulness. I wonder if it's been something where you just think, you know, it's not that big of a deal. I don't have to be consistent. I don't have to be diligent. I don't have to be a part of this. And you've just been kind of slipping in your faithfulness in whatever area it is of your life. And you look at this verse and you say, I need to be faithful here. I wonder if you've been more focused on numbers. And sometimes it's been discouraging to you because you haven't lived up to those numbers that everybody else has. And other times maybe it's pride and arrogance because you've well surpassed the numbers that everybody else has. But you need to think instead about being faithful here. I wonder if today you've buried your pound. The word occupy here, to do business, to gain by trading, is the philosophy and the burden of my heart for our church. That God has given us this pound. God has given us this resource. And it is up to us to use the resource of this ministry to advance the cause of Christ for God's honor and for God's glory. Do you have a pound? Do you have a talent? Do you have a resource? Do you have a skill or ability that you've buried, that you haven't used, that you haven't been serving God with? Faithfulness isn't just going through the motions every week. Faithfulness isn't just showing up. Faithfulness is using the resources that God has given to you to advance His kingdom while you wait for the kingdom to appear. And I wonder today if you've been reminded that you need to get out your pound and start serving God with your life. Faithfulness just uses a little. It varies a lot. It pleases the Lord and it brings a reward.
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.